Nurses and Hypochondriacs, the podcast that brings nurse experts, patients, and hypochondriacs together to discuss hot topics in healthcare. And here is your host, Ercilia Pompilio.
Hello and welcome to Nurses and Hypochondriacs. I am your host, Ercilia Pompilio, and I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about nursing, the Filipino-American dream. And, you know, it's always that thing people say, why are there so many Filipinos in the nursing profession? Why do so many Filipinos work at Kaiser? And today we're going to find out, and I'm excited to bring on my guest today. She is a writer-performer based in Los Angeles. She has been creating and performing theater for over 10 years. And I'm excited to bring on Leslie Assistio.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. And she also did, she just did a one-person show called Nurse Assistio, Living the Filipino-American Dream. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us about your show. I saw your show at the Outdoor Voices Festival in Los Angeles last week. So tell us how you conceptualize this. What is this whole thing about so many Filipino people becoming nurses? I mean, your mom wanted you to become a nurse, right?
Yeah. So I grew up with my mom, like, forcing me to want to be a nurse, and I just wasn't having it. And I think, like, it's funny because when I was little, I remember doing this little project where we were supposed to draw what we wanted to be. And I remember, like, I wanted to be like my mom. I wanted to be a nurse. And then maybe sometime in high school, because of teen angst or whatever, I totally rebelled against my mom, and I was like, yeah, I want to be an actress and all this stuff. So it totally flipped. And then I continued doing theater, doing musicals and all this stuff. And then I went to college, and then I started doing solo performance. And this opportunity came along where this show came up, and I talked about this in the talk back at the festival, where my director and I were, it was actually a joke that had started between us, where we had been seeing solo performances a lot, and this is a kind of weird thing where a lot of solo performances are about the same thing. And it's kind of like a rite of passage that the solo performer has to do the same freaking show. Like, they have to do the show about, I left everything and then I became an actor, you know? And it's almost like everybody's first show. You know, I think I might have done that show.
I saw two shows like that in the 2015 Fringe.
Yeah, and it's like everybody does that fucking show. It's like, why do you have to do that fucking show? It's like everybody does that fucking show. It's like the first show everybody does.
So Hollywood. I know. We always have to do a show about Hollywood.
And I thought about it, and I was like, what if somebody did the flip side of it, and did a show where it was a famous Filipino actor that left everything to become a nurse? And then
that actually happens. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. And it was kind of a joke to me. And then there's this opportunity for me to apply for a grant. And in my head, I was like, I'm never going to get this grant. This is like a throwaway grant. And then I got this grant.
Wow. Congrats.
And and I was like, oh great, now I have to do this show. because this was a running joke between me and my director, I said, since I have the money, I'm gonna work with this director, because I had been working with the same director for a while before this. I said, I have the money, so I could work with this other director. And I think that Brian, my director for this show, I think he's a genius. Like, he's he's a poet mainly, but I've seen him direct like other things, and I worked on him with another show called The Sex Show, and we were working on it at the at Highways, and I saw the way that he was directing or working on that show together with us, and I was just like, this is really different, his style of directing, and I really wanted to try something different with this show since I had the money for it. So
I love it how a joke,
yeah,
became a production, not only a production but a production that you got a grant for.
Yeah.
And I love it how it was a joke, it was a creative idea, you're just like, whatever, you got funding for it and you made it happen. It's beautiful, and that's how creativity works. Yeah, so it's so awesome.
Yeah, and I really wanted to try something different and go outside of my box and do something, because I said that I wanted to try something different than what I've normally been doing. Like, I wanted to tell the story in different ways than what I've normally been doing. So I thought that Brian was the director that would help me do it, because, I mean, you saw the show. There was, like, I told it in different ways with using props and using physical theater and yes, using clowning and stuff like that.
Yeah, so let's talk. Yeah, you used, you used some acrobatics as well. You were on the floor doing some interesting poses. I liked how you used the American flag. It was very creative, you know, and very indicative of Filipinos coming to the United States and becoming nurses. And I got that. I understood what that symbology meant, which was very creative that you put that in there and stuff. Yeah. Because nursing really is a Filipino-American dream. Mm-hmm. Right. So tell us a little bit about the story and your mom. When you told your mom you were going to be an actress,
oh my God,
was it kind of like Joe Coy? We saw the Filipino comedian Joe Coy. He's Filipino-American, correct, I think?
He's actually half. I think he's half white and half Filipino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe so, because his dad was in the service, and then he actually has a joke about it. He has a joke about his dad being in the service and his mom being Filipino. Yeah.
Yeah, but just like him, I mean, he went to his mom, and we're going to go ahead and roll a clip of that.
I became a comedian, which is totally against the grain when you have a Filipino mom. If you have a Filipino mom, that is not the career choice you're supposed to have. Filipino moms predetermine what their kids are supposed to be when they grow up. And you know I'm not making this shit up. There's a lot of Filipinos in here right now that are nurses. Today is a good day to get injured at a show. Because there will be a nurse in here like, oh my God, put a cold compress on the head. Elevate the pit. Elevate the pit. What the fuck is elevate? Just lift. Lift the fucking pit. Are you stupid? And I'm not, hey, look, I'm not shitting on you for being a nurse. That's a great job, great benefits, good money. I'm just saying, it wasn't your dream. That was your Filipino mom's dream. My mom wanted me to be a nurse. Are you fucking kidding me? Filipino moms shit on their kids' dreams. And you know I'm not lying. They can't have a dream. What are you talking about, dream? I told my mom I wanted to be a comedian. She cried. Why? Why do you want to be a comedian, Joseph? All your aunties are nurses? Your cousins are nurses? Do you see any clowns in this family? Do you?
And so he went to his mom and said, his mom, you know, I'm going to be a comedian. And she's like, there are no clowns in our family. There are a bunch of nurses, you know. And who told you you were funny? It wasn't me, you know. So, I don't do it justice, but you know, was it something like that happened to you?
I think mine was a lot more dramatic. I had lied to my mom about my college applications. And I had told my mom that I was going to apply to UCLA for business. I had no idea what business, like, I didn't know what to do with business. I'm like, I don't know, a number or something like that. Like, I'm going to do something with numbers. I don't, whatever. And I had applied to, I think, five colleges, five UCs to do theater. And I didn't get into UCLA and I didn't get into Berkeley. I got into UCSD, UCSB, UC Santa Cruz, and I think one more.
That's amazing.
I got into those universities, and I knew that my cousin and my sister were going to be at Santa Barbara, so I decided to go there for dramatic arts. And then my mom was like, oh, so you're going to go to UCSD for business, right? And I was like, no, Mom. I'm going to go to UCSB for theater. And she cried. She's like, oh, my God, I failed as a parent. And I was like, wow, I didn't know you're going to take it that way. And it was, she was like so dramatic. She was like hysterical. And like, that was when I like came out as like a theater person to her. Like, it was like my coming out party. Like, you know, like this is what I'm really going to do.
But did you do theater in like high school?
Yeah, I did. She thought it was just like a hobby or whatever, you know, like fun. I mean, she came to my shows and stuff, but I don't think she really took it seriously. Like, that's what I was going to do with my life.
I mean, sing and dance at home all the time? Would you be theatrical?
Like, karaoke. Everybody does karaoke. I'm Filipino, right? So. I mean, like, it
comes with the gold. It's in the DNA.
Yeah, and like when they would have like the Macarena lines and all this stuff, you know, like, of course I would be singing and dancing and whatever, but like, I don't think she ever took it seriously that that's what I was going to do with my life, because she, like, I was in honors classes and I would get awards and all this stuff, and she always thought, you could do better with your life, you know. It's, I mean, like, the Filipino standard for like their children is always something like, you got to be a nurse, you got to be something like better than, you know, what we expect for ourselves, I guess.
Right. So did she say, oh, maybe you should go into nursing at all? Or did she ever propose that to you? Or did she try to change your mind? Or
I think that came when I was older. It didn't come when I was younger. I think that was like when I was growing up, when I was like actually in college and stuff. And I don't know if I think that was like when I was growing up and actually going to college, and it was like, oh, you should, why don't you go into nursing because it pays a lot of money and stuff, and like, why do you always want to go into acting and stuff, because you're never gonna make it, you're never gonna, I mean, it doesn't pay a lot of money and all that stuff, you know.
Right. And that's what they always see about the nursing profession, that it, you get paid well, and yes, mm-hmm. that's true, you do get paid well, but it is a lot of work. It's not for mm-hmm. everybody. It is a very self-sacrificing profession. It is a very hard profession, because you have to love people. You literally have to be this empathic saint almost. Mm-hmm. And when I was teaching, I would tell people like, hey, I don't think this is for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I even had a student, and I think I had mentioned it at your show when we were doing Q&A, who was Filipino, and she just looked so depressed. I mean, her body language and her shoulders were always slumped down. She never talked to anybody. She was very quiet. And, you know, I had her in my office because I would do counseling. And I was like, what's wrong with you? I mean, you don't look like you want to be here. And she's like, well, I actually have an art degree. Like, she had a bachelor's in art, and she was a talented graphic artist. I mean, she was an illustrator, and she would do cartoons and stuff, and so talented. And she went to Art Center. I was like, hello, did you do anything with this? Because she showed me her portfolio. She's like, no. I was like, you didn't even apply for a job at like Cartoon Network, or, I mean, it's hard, not like it's easy, or Nickelodeon or Disney. You didn't even try? And she's like, no. And I go, why? She's like, well, my mom wanted me to be a nurse. You know, and her mom wasn't a nurse, but this was her dream. Her mm-hmm. mother's dream was to be a nurse, and she was bestowing it on her child. And, you know, her mom ended up working at a hospital and just pulled some strings. And so she got really good clinical placement, which we like illegal. Well, it wasn't, I mean, we kind of jimmied some stuff and made it a VIP for her because she was kind of helping the school out. The mom actually even called me several times to speak to me. This is a university. Wow. And she thought that just because she was paying for her college education that she had a right to dictate what was going on with her kid. And one day she was calling me, and then the student was in the background going, "Mom, no!" You know, and screaming. And I was like, oh my gosh, how old are these people? Wow. Like, am I dealing? And it was so incredibly sad. And I don't know what happened to that student. I told her, you know, I would see her and I would go, "Hey, you know, I have some ideas for children's books. Maybe we can get together and do like a pediatric-based children's book." And, you know, something about hospitals and stuff. And her face would just light up, you know. And so I lost contact with her, and I hope she really did pursue her passion. Or maybe mesh them together somehow, you know, and stuff. That's always possible. But yeah, it must be tough growing up in that household and stuff.
Yeah. So. Well, I think, like, as I've gotten older, I've seen that there's different areas in my life that I can't live without. Like, in the show, I actually mentioned that I'm a substitute teacher. And that's another part of me that I can't really live without. And it's, like, teaching kids. So I know that I have the theater side of me, and then I have this educational side of me. And I love teaching kids. And that's another side that my mom is like, "Oh, don't you want to be a teacher?" And then she's trying to, like,
she's trying to push me to be a teacher right now.
And, like, you know, like, get into that. But it's like, I don't just want to be a teacher, you know.
Right.
So it's always like, you know, mom trying to get it in, you know, trying to make me be something that I'm not. But I mean, like, I do love kids. And I feel like the way that my DNA is formed is like I have different aspects of my life that I enjoy, and I do love teaching kids, and I do love theater at the same time. And I've kind of formed my life to be a certain way, and that's just the way that I like to live my life, you know.
And I think that if more people would do that, I think we'd have more of a happy planet. Mm-hmm. People get so stuck in, I just have to do one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I made the split and when I started writing and creating, the same thing as you, people just thought it was a hobby. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually morphed it into more than a hobby, and it's becoming a business. And people are, they're just baffled, you know, to where I had lost a lot of friends. Even my own family was like, "What are you doing? Why can't you just be a nurse?" Mm-hmm. You know, and they just kept trying to put me into this box, and I was just getting out of that box. And I was like, well, I could do everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the beauty of my profession, also teaching, you know, because we need a lot of teachers. You could be a sub. You could work full time. I mean, mm-hmm. you could work at a camp. You could work in so many places as a teacher, as well as a nurse. It's very versatile. I could do both, you mm-hmm. know. And I think if people do that, follow what you're doing, follow what I'm doing, they'll be much more happier with mm-hmm. their life, with their careers, that they don't just have to do one thing, mm-hmm. you know, and just get on that treadmill over and over again mm-hmm. and just embrace the creative process. So I want to talk more about the Filipino culture. So you've been to the Philippines.
Yes.
So tell us about that, because in the show, you talked about how you went to your grandmother's and she was making you food. Let's start with the food, because I love food.
I'm like, which part did I, my grandma's making
Well, when
me
your
food?
Grandmother was cooking for you, like lechon and
lumpia.
Or just tell us food. About your visit, like what you remember.
Oh, okay. So I went to the Philippines twice that I remember. I think when I was really young, I've been to the Philippines just because my dad was in the service and we just moved around a lot. But I don't remember those times. So that I do remember, I was there when I was 7 and we had a reunion. And like that was probably like one of the best times of my life because I was just a little crazy kid, like just seeing all my relatives and everything. And we're just playing all the time. And I think it was just like family vacation time, and we went to like the resort, and I remember like going to this restaurant, and there were, we had like, I remember being picky about the food because like as a child, I didn't like Filipino food. Now that I'm adult, I'm just like, oh, culture. Like, I'm like, oh, yes, everything. Like, I love Filipino food. I know, like, most of it's bad for me. But, like, when I was little, we went to this restaurant, and they had, like, they had little hamburgers. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so weird. They're, like, tiny. And then they had, like, spaghetti, and they had, like, Filipino
they
stuff.
They put spaghetti. Okay, let's talk about the spaghetti.
Spaghetti, yes!
Because they put, the spaghetti is super sweet, and they put hot dogs. In
hot
their
dogs.
Spaghetti.
Yes.
One of my coworkers one day wanted my pasta sauce recipe, right? My tomato sauce recipe. So I gave it to her. So then she comes in the next day and was like, oh, I had to add sugar and hot dogs. And I was like, what? That's like sacrilegious.
That's how you make it.
That's sacrilegious in the Italian culture. I'm like, you bastardized my tomato sauce.
That's how you do it. That's Filipino style spaghetti. You have to put sugar. You usually put cinnamon.
Oh.
Yeah, cinnamon. Like, I make Filipino style spaghetti. Also, I don't put hot dog because that just makes it gross.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're like, oh, we don't have sausages. Let's put hot dog in it. Yeah. And what else? They put tons of sugar. They put ketchup. Ketchup. You have to put ketchup. Otherwise, it doesn't taste right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you have to have my spaghetti.
Oh, my God. I'll have to try it one day. I mean,
it's
I was
good.
Telling you before the
But I do it
show.
A little yeah. different because I, like, have a different taste. So I do it a little different because I'll try to spice it up with some, like, you know, like those, what are they called? They're, like, they're sausages, but, I mean, you get them at the store. They have, like, chicken and
Is it the Filipino sausages,
no, no, no,
the
no,
red
it's,
ones?
It's the sausages that you could get. It's, like, chicken and apple.
Sausages. Oh, okay,
you know,
yeah,
those,
yeah,
those,
yeah.
Those sausages, yeah. Oh, those are so good. But I put it with that one, like the really skinny, spaghetti noodles. What are those called? I haven't cooked for a while.
Oh,
I'm trying to lose weight.
Vermicelli.
No,
those skinny ones.
The really, really skinny ones.
Spaghetti. It's called spaghetti. It's either vermicelli or it's spaghetti.
No,
vermicelli
the really,
is a,
the really
thinner.
Skinny ones. The really, really, really skinny ones. They're not even called spaghetti anymore. It's like.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. It's either vermicelli or it's the spaghetti. That's all I know.
Angel hair.
That's
there you
it.
Go. We spent like 30 angel minutes hair. Trying to figure out what angel hair is called.
I know. The whole podcast.
Oh my
gosh. It's about pasta now. It's turned into Italian from Filipino. But yeah, but I was telling you before, I went to a Catholic elementary school in Eagle Rock. And literally 95% of the population when I went to school was Filipino. And so I became assimilated into the culture very well. All my friends were Filipino. There were a couple of Italian people in our class. There was like one white person, you know. And I remember the Halloween carnivals where the Filipino booth was next to the Italian booth. My mom would work at the Italian booth. And then all my friends' moms would work at the Filipino booth. And we would like swap. Pizza. I would swap them a slice of pizza for lumpia and beef stick.
They didn't have dinuguan.
What's dinuguan? Oh, is it the
meat?
Blood?
Chocolate
is it the
meat?
Blood? Is it the blood?
Could you imagine? They're like, here.
That, they did
I'll
have that at the
dinuguan
birthday parties. Yeah,
some pizza.
They did have that at the birthday parties. Or like, would you like some pig's blood? You know, and you're just like, where am I? No, right. That was like very, but it's a very special. Delicacy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or some balot.
Balot! Oh, yes! Balot! Balot are the duck eggs. Yes, yeah. They would have balot at the parties as well. I remember balot. And and it's like even at school, if it was someone's birthday, they would bring in trays of lumpia, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why, because I went to school with so many Filipinos, I was able to assimilate in the nursing Filipino culture very, mm-hmm. very well. And again, there was always food on the unit. There was always lumpia.
I'm
if
like,
you went
where
to
do
the
you
parties,
work? I know. Let me come over.
I know. Oh my God, they always have lumpia. They always have what is the vermicelli? The
glass noodles.
The noodles. Yeah. What is it called?
Pancit.
there's always Ponset, you know, like people, big trays, not just like one little bowl. No, big trays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Filipinos love to share their food. That's mm-hmm. the thing. When the nurses would come, oh, here, come here. Do you want some of this?
Eat now.
Like, and we always had on the units, we always had a rice cooker.
Yes, rice cooker. You have to have a rice cooker.
You have to have a rice cooker.
Our family would go to Las Vegas with a rice cooker. We would like, you have to have ba'on. You bring your ba'on. Like, we would.
What's a ba'on?
You bring your lunch. It's a ba'on. Yeah, that's, I don't know what the exact translation is, but it's like okay. You bring your lunch. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And there was, you know, and the number one dessert on the unit, because it was so easy to make and because we were in a hospital, was halo halo, mm-hmm. you know, because they had the ice machine there. So halo halo is made with crushed ice. It's made with
these sweet beans. I actually have an ice crusher in my house. Am I that Filipino? I know, right? I think I actually bought it to like make halo halo ones.
Right. How funny. Yeah. So it has, it's condensed milk. Has like coconut in it. What else? I think that's.
I think sweet sometimes beans. It has gelatin. It has like the beans. Like, sometimes mango beans, I think. Am I thinking of something?
Yeah,
else?
I think it's mango bean. Something like that. And they would have like a halo halo buffet. Like, oh, come, we're having halo halo time right now. You know, and it's like you stop everything and you go have your, you know, you go and you're like, oh, okay, crush ice with condensed milk and mm-hmm. stuff. And it's instant dessert, you know, mm-hmm. very easy. So interesting. But yeah, you know, and I pulled out some interesting research, as did you, about why are there so many Filipino nurses working in the hospitals? Mm-hmm. And it's not only in California. It's not only in the United States. It is worldwide. Mm-hmm. The Philippines, from the research that I gathered, is the number one producer of nurses around the world. They have the most nursing schools in all of the world, which I thought was fascinating. You know, and then back in the 1960s, there, or 1965 actually, there was an immigration act that the United States had. There was a big nursing shortage. So they went and recruited nurses from the Philippines, gave them visas, brought them over, would educate them even. And the thing was that they were supposed to get educated and then go back home, mm-hmm. you know, and help the economy in the Philippines. But many of them ended up staying. Right. So and that is why we have so many Filipino nurses. And that's mm-hmm. why the culture is so big. And now they're children. So some became nurses. But I know a lot of these parents who were nurses tried to get their children in. And I know they are hard workers. And a lot of the research says that's why they're such great nurses, because of the work ethic mm-hmm. in the Philippines. There are so many nurses here that they've created a lack of nurses in the Philippines, mm-hmm. Which I found in the research, you know, because even doctors that were doctors in the Philippines came over to become nurses. Some of them become nurse practitioners, which is very interesting as well. But tell us a little bit about your mom being mm-hmm. a nurse and how, what that was like growing up for you.
That's interesting because there's three of us kids, and my dad was working. Was he working at that time? I don't remember. But she was actually trying to go to school and raise us at the same time.
Was she going to nursing school?
Yeah, okay. I believe. And she got her RN at a community college. And my mom only has a associate's degree, mm-hmm. and then like she makes like a lot of money. So I think it was like hard on the family because she was like doing a lot at the same time as trying to raise three kids. And then I think, I don't remember when it was that my dad he got injured, and then he started staying home. And then he was like raising us, and then my mom was working a lot, but it created a lot of tension in the family, mm-hmm. Because my mom was working a lot. And I actually remember going to a class with my mom.
Oh, interesting.
And, I remember the images just because like it showed like the inside of a person, and I was so young and I was terrified.
Oh my God, it's trauma.
Because I remember seeing like, I don't know if it was like joints or something, but it was like the insides of a person, and I was like little. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so gross. And I was like, I went to class with her. I went to a college class with her. And I'm like sitting there watching it. I was like, oh my God, this is so gross. And
Yeah, it's so really traumatic.
I'm like a little kid in a nursing class. And I'm just like, ah.
So, wow, that's really interesting that your mom decided, like, after you weren't born in the Philippines, you were born here.
I was born in Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh, you were born in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Because your dad was in the service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then your mom decided to go to nursing school. So she becomes a nurse. And
yeah.
She works a lot. And then tell us, you were telling us, like, she had some kind of issues with nurses at work.
Oh, yeah. I think because there's a lot of cliques and stuff. I mean, like Filipinos,
they're
always,
very cliquey.
There's always Filipinos are there's. All, I mean, who doesn't have cliques? Like, come on,
right?
Yeah, I know, but Filipinos are almost notorious for cliques, right? I think it's just like within our genes, maybe because we're like islanders or something or tribe people.
But I think anytime that there's a huge number of certain people in a population or in an ethnic group, they just get cliquey. It's just how it is, you know, and they just all stick together.
Yeah.
But then when it's more dispersed and it's different, it kind of doesn't happen so much. Yeah. So,
I think there was something that happened with my mom. I don't remember what it was, but I think she was like almost forced to resign.
Wow.
Because of there was a lot of like talks. Smacking. I don't know. I'm dyslexic. But so something happened and then she was like forced to resign, I think. Yeah, there was something that happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend that went over to Kaiser and she was not Filipino. And then she said she couldn't take it. And I was like, why? She's like, it's the Filipino mafia. You know, she goes, I just didn't fit in. It's just like they're very, very cliquey, mm-hmm. you know, and so it is kind of true. It is a reality that does tend to happen. And why do so many people work? Why do so many Filipinos work at Kaiser? That's kind of like the joke, mm-hmm. but it's because Kaiser in the 1960s, 70s recruited from the Philippines, mm-hmm. you know, so that's why there's so many Filipino nurses there and they bring over. You know, their families into working and stuff like that. So, exactly. So, cool. So, did your mom... Okay, what can we talk about now? Interesting. So, in your show, you were talking about the Filipino-American dream, how your mom was trying to get you in. I mean, some of it is fictional. Some of it is true. And you were talking about all this stuff that you could buy, like going to Costco, that's the American dream, and the Louis Vuitton jeggings and driving the Lexus SUV. So is that what? How much of that is true for your mom? Is that like, was that her dream or?
I think my mom doesn't have a Lexus SUV. She actually has a Mercedes-Benz. But I don't remember. I don't know what class it is. It is a Mercedes, but it was her dream to have a Mercedes. She doesn't have Louis Vuitton jeggings. But my mom does shop at Ross. I did talk about shopping at Ross. And she does have, like, diamond rings.
You too.
I did talk about that. What else? I did talk about the plastic surgery. That stuff is true. There are some things in my show that were exaggerated and there's some things that I kind of had to switch around just for the dramatic effect and stuff. Right. So, they were true about some things in my life, but I just kind of switched them around to make it, fit the story, you know? So like the thing about my car running out of gas was actually something about like, There was a time when, it's funny because I actually remember this area because I was tutoring at the time and I didn't have a lot of money and I actually like ran out of gas And I
you called your mom to ask
no,
for
no,
gas
no, no,
money?
No, I didn't call my mom, but I had to ask people for money for gas. Wow. I would like wave people down and be like, "Hey, could I get gas, or could I get, you know," like people would have to like get gas for me and like put it in my car and stuff and help me out and stuff. So we had to rewrite the show so that it fit into the story and stuff. So there's a lot of like things like that we did to the story. Like I would like, it was kind of like a therapy session with Brian. Like I'd be crying and stuff and like telling him my whole life and whatever. And then we like write it, and then we would like fit it into the show so that it would like make sense for the show to have this dramatic arc and all this stuff, so that it would make the show more interesting and raise the stakes in the show.
Exactly. And high stakes in writing, I mean, that's the golden thing that you want to get to. And that's what makes people want to come and see your show. That's what makes your show enticing. That's what opens up your audience. And one-person shows are very healing. They're very, my favorite word, cathartic. But it is. And writing is. And it's just getting that out there. And you just feel like, don't you feel like a different person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to the materialism of the Filipino nursing world, and I remember when I was in school, I would always see mothers picking up their kids in nice Mercedes Benzes, wearing scrubs, you know. And here is my parents, you know, they kind of had a crappy car. And I was like, why can't we buy Mercedes like the Filipino nurses, you know? And then and I was sharing with you this story, how I was working in the pharmaceutical industry, and we had a dinner at a very nice steakhouse where a doctor was speaking about cardiac drug. And it was a dinner for the nurses because we wanted to educate the nurses. So we brought in all these nurses, and a majority of them were all Filipino, and they dressed up like they were going to a wedding. They were all dressed very nice, but they had their bling. Let me tell you, they all had their signature designer purses, Chanel, Louis Vuitton, you know, Gucci. And I was just like, what is going on? And they were just parading them around like it was a fashion show. It was really interesting. And I was like, wow, this is culture at work, you know. And I love people and I love cultures and I love to study what people do. I wanted to be an anthropologist, but I could never see myself in the bush, you know, studying people barefoot, you know. And I never knew how I was going to make money off of that. But nursing kind of is like that, and now what I'm doing is like that, because I watch people, and it was so fascinating to me, you know. Especially if you have a creative mind, you're like, well, look at this would be a funny show. And then researching more, it is so part of the culture, you know, like coming to your show and watching what Joe Coy had said about his show and about his Filipino culture and trying to break out of that box and becoming something else other than a nurse is very fascinating, and the research is here to prove it too, which is very, very interesting. So, yeah. So, do you have anything? Would you like to add anything else?
I don't know. I think, like, for me, like when I think about like what's like the whole Filipino dream. What it comes down to is like happiness, you know, and for some people being a nurse is happiness, you know, and some people could be really happy doing that, you know, and for me, it's, I don't think that I would find happiness there, you know, and like for me, like, so I was thinking about this the other day when I was at school, when I was substituting, and like, sometimes my kids give me so much happiness just, you know, being in the classroom with the kids. And I mean, of course they could be bratty and they could, you know, do this or do that. And like, I could just get so much satisfaction from being with the kids. And I could get so much, a different kind of satisfaction from doing my shows, you know. But this is just the way that I'm designed, that I have, like, I get satisfaction in doing the work that I was created to do. And
because you're following your passion.
Yeah, exactly. But I just feel like I don't want for myself to be living somebody else's dream. And I think that's the point of my show, is that I don't think that anybody should place their dream on, upon somebody else, and that other people should be trying to live somebody else's dream, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree, because when you're living that other person's dream, I don't think you are fully embodying what you're supposed to be doing, you know? And I'm going back to Joy-Koi, because that little segment that I saw was interesting. He's like, somewhere there's a nurse who jabberwalking,
yeah,
you know? And then yeah, she's like, they're like, oh, well, you're really good at that. Yes, this was my dream, you know? And that was their dream. And it's, you know, I think that a lot of times people are like, well, I really wanted to do this. Okay, well, why didn't you pursue it? They're like, oh, because, you know, they're looking at the outside. They're really not listening to their spirit. They're not listening to their internal drive on what makes them happy and what they want to do no matter what. I mean, they're looking at the dollar signs.
Yeah.
You know, and you can have a perfectly happy life and actually fully abundant life. You know, maybe you won't have the Louis Vuitton jeggings, you know, maybe you'll have the Old Navy jeggings, but you're still going to be much more happier and much more fulfilled. And for some people, nursing is it. I worked with tons of Filipino nurses who love their job. Mm-hmm. They love being nurses. They were really great at it. And on the contrary, I worked with several who hated their job, you know, who were probably working three jobs. And their focus was to put their kids through the university and their kids through school, pay for weddings or whatever they needed to pay for, buy homes and stuff like that. And that was their main focus, and they just needed to get through. But like I said, there were some that really loved doing what they did and stuff. So, you know, and I guess that's with any that could be with any profession as well as both sides of the spectrum. So this has been really interesting. I've learned so much doing this research, you know, because for many years I think a lot of people pondered, like, why are there so many Filipino nurses or Filipinos in the nursing profession? And going through the research, it was interesting to find out that it is a country that produces one of the most nurses in all of the world. And they have the most nursing schools. Like I said, why do they all work at Kaiser? Because Kaiser went and recruited a lot of them in the 1960s and 70s. And it's all very, very fascinating where that all comes from, because everything has a root to it, you know, and a purpose. Well, your show was amazing. I hope you go on with it. And I hope that your goal was to show it at universities, right?
Yeah.
And stuff. And I think a lot of people can learn from that and either say,
hey. Especially when I hump the flag.
Oh, yeah, I love that part. The creative uses of the flag. Yes. It's awesome. Yes. I hope you go on, and I hope that you are incredibly successful with your dream.
Thank you.
In the creative arts. All right. Thank you so much for listening. And you could get one continuing education unit. Visit our website, and you could see our resources that we used on our peer-reviewed journal articles for all our research today. Thanks so much.
Baryo sa pangbato, pumunta ng LA nagtrabaho para makatulong sa nanay dahil sa hirap ng buhay, pero masaya pa rin ang kulay pag kumain nagkakamay. Yung kanin, chicken adobo, yung balot binibenta sa kanto, tagay mo na nga ang baso, pare ko inuman na tayo.
Filipino, 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 Filipino.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo.
Ikaw ang aking
bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ang aking
bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ay
Filipino, 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 Filipino.
Mas daro ang magaganda.
ng dalaga. Nakakagigil ang beauty mo talaga. Lambing hindi nakakasawa. Ikaw lang ang gusto makasama. Yung bahay o kubo, pag-ibig mo ay totoo. Puso ko'y laging kumikibo. Wala kang katulad sa mundo. Pinay ka, sigaw na. Sige, kung maganda ka, sigaw na. Sige, kung buhay mo'y mahalaga. Sige, salamat sa iyong suporta.
Pilipino, 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 Pilipino.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ang aking.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ang aking.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ang aking.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ang aking.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ang aking.
Bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be, bebo, bebo, be.
Ikaw ay
Pinay ka, sigaw na. Sige, kung maganda ka, sigaw na. Sige, kung buhay mo'y mahalaga. Sige, salamat sa iyong suporta. Sige, Pinay ka, sigaw na. Sige, kung maganda ka, sigaw na. Sige, kung buhay mo'y mahalaga. Sige, salamat sa iyong suporta.
Filipino, Filipino, Filipino,
Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino, Filipino,